We just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that anything that is not of you falls to the ground like a feather. We pray in Jesus' name to help me in my service here today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Thank you, Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and cares for us, that you've given us your eternal revelation of you through your word, but that you also speak to us through your Holy Spirit. God, this morning we ask that you would be speaking to each and every one of us to help us to know you, to help us to grow in our following of you, and to help us to live this out. God, would you be speaking to each of us in this place, we pray. Give us hearts and minds to hear what it is you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in just under a month's time, we as a nation will be going to the polls to vote to alter the Constitution to recognise the First Peoples of Australia by establishing an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice. Today, I want to help us to think about this. Now, I understand that there will be tension in the room as you hear me say that we're going to talk about the voice. But what I'm going to do is not spoon feed you an answer saying you must vote this way in the referendum. No, that is between you and God. You need to do that. You need to make that decision with God's help. What I want us to be doing today, and what my prayer is for us in this sermon, is that not looking for a clear yes or no, but helping us to think about what does it look like for us as disciples of God to love our neighbour in the midst of this lead up to the referendum, but also after the referendum. How do we continue to love our neighbour as we are called to? Because here's the deal. Whatever the outcome of the referendum, our call as Christians doesn't change. We are called to love God with all that we are. We are called to love our neighbour as ourselves. And so whatever the outcome of the referendum, whether it's a yes or a no, doesn't matter. It doesn't change what we are called to be doing as Christians. We are called to love God and love one another. But how we do this is also shaped by how we love God and how we vote in the referendum. And so today we're going to think about it. We're going to think about the referendum. And we're going to do it using the parable that we just had read to us, this story of Jesus. As Jesus says in it, we are to love God and love your neighbor. And out of this, the lawyer wanting to prove himself goes, well, I want to justify this. So Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gives us probably one of his most famous parables in response, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And so we're going to use some of the principles of the parable of the Good Samaritan to help us to think about how do we live this out in this time that we are facing now. So the first thing for us from this passage is this. As we come to the vote, we need to recognise that first and foremost, as Christians, we are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Jesus notes that this is the greatest commandment. This is the first thing that we are to be doing, loving the Lord our God. And it's true with any election, policy, referendum, how we vote is determined first and foremost by us wanting to look to God. How can I love God in the midst of this? And so as we come to any kind of referendum or election, we're going, God, I want to look to you. I want to see your priorities lived out in this. Now, this will look different for each of us as we go to the polls. See, whenever we come to a vote, we all have different priorities that we think God is saying is most important at that time. We go, man, this is something that God is calling me and my discipleship to, so I want to see us be pursuing this as a nation. And that's good. That's right that we have this, that we are hearing each and every voice on this, because this is what a democracy is. We are called to use our voice to vote. But as we do it loving God. And so as we come to this vote on the referendum, you can be asking the question, God, what does it look like for me to love you in the midst of this? What are your kingdom principles and how do they apply to this? And as you seek to ask this question, pray. Pray to God. He wants to be us to be engaging in a relationship with him. So pray, ask him this question, listen to his answer. God, how do I follow you in this? How do I love you in this situation? What does this look like? What are you calling me to vote in this referendum? See, we are blessed with a relationship with the living God who wants us to pursue him and he wants to speak his truth to us. And he wants to impart that wisdom to us. And we have the Holy Spirit in us helping us to do this. And we can read his word and see his principles in there as well. So the first thing for us as we think about this vote is to recognize actually we are doing so first and foremost seeking to love God. And then out of our loving God, we are called to love our neighbor. And the second thing for us this morning is that to start to love our neighbor, we actually need to recognize our neighbor. If we want to love our neighbor well, then we need to see them as human beings made in the image of God. Not as a problem to be managed, not as some words on a piece of paper, but as a people and a person made in the image of God. If we see our neighbour as a problem to be solved or managed, then we're going to treat them in that way. If we see them as in a human being, then we are far more likely to actually love them. We're far more likely to go, yeah, you are made in the image of God and I want to care for you in this. Martin Luther King Jr., the famous social justice advocate in the US, in talking about the Good Samaritan, similarly talked about seeing the person and not just the cost when it comes to this. And he put it this way. It'll be on the screen for us. And so the first question that the priest asked and the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan came by and he reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? Now, there are plenty of good reasons why the priest and the Levite might not have stopped to help the man. Were they traveling on that road heading to Jerusalem, going to do their duties in the temple? And if so, then ritually they would have become unclean by touching the blood of another. And so that would have put them unable to go into the temple, unable to do their work and help the others worship God. Maybe they've been up at the temple doing their work as a fly-in, fly-out, or a walk-in, walk-out worker, and they're on their way back to their families. And they go that for us to stop and help this man right at this moment means that we can't be with our families who need us in this time. We haven't been with them for the past week or month or whatever. Maybe they were scared that this man had been left on the side of the road as a decoy so that the robbers who had attacked this man could then attack the person that helped them, leaving not just one person on the side of the road left for dead, but two. Maybe they just felt incapable to help this man. That helping this man was beyond their capabilities at this point. There are plenty of good reasons, plenty of legitimate reasons. We don't know why they didn't help. But I know that when I don't love my neighbor well, it's usually because I'm seeing them as a problem to be managed or solved or helped, rather than a person made in the image of God. That my attitude, if I'm being the priest or the Levite, is actually, well, this is too hard for me to engage with this. I can't help in this moment. I don't want to get involved in this situation. See, the person becomes a problem to be managed, not a human being made in the image of God. But what the Good Samaritan does is to actually see the person and say, I might have limited capabilities in this, but if I don't help, then something worse is going to happen. I need to be seeing this person. See, the Good Samaritan says, what happens to him? Not just what happens to me, but what happens to him? The Good Samaritan recognizes the person on the side of the road, not the problem. One of the ways that we can recognize people is simply by acknowledging them. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone, in a group of you, maybe gone along with another friend, and the person, rather than talking to you that you're talking to, talks to the other person with you? That you'll ask a question and they won't respond to your question to you, they'll look at the other person. It's not fun. No one likes that. See, when we're not recognized and acknowledged, it makes us feel less than. And yet it doesn't take much for us to recognize and acknowledge people. It is easy for us to say, yeah, I see you. But it takes us taking that step in our mind to go, yeah, I want to recognize people. I want to see people as God sees them. On our welcome slides today, you might have noticed that we have a new addition to it. Down the bottom, it now says, we acknowledge the Boonwurrung people, the traditional stewards of the lands upon which we gather. This is a simple way to recognize and acknowledge the people who have been a part of this land for a long time. We've put it here as a chance for us to say, We see you. We recognize you. We acknowledge the contributions you have made. You are people, and we want to stand with you in this. We want to see you as people made in the image of God, and we want you to know that we recognize the value that is inherent in you, the value that is inherent in you as a people. Now, we've deliberately chosen the word stewards here, not owners, as you might see in some acknowledgements of country, because we view it as only God who owns the land. It is only God who truly owns creation, but we are given the privilege of stewarding the resources, the things that he gives us for his glory. And so we acknowledge the Indigenous First Peoples as the traditional stewards, those who were given responsibility by God to do this. That is one way that we can recognize, acknowledge our First Peoples. But as we come to the referendum, we can also recognize and acknowledge our First Peoples in this as well. That they are not just words on a piece of paper, but this is a question about people. This is a question that impacts the real lives of real people. And we need to recognize as well that there is people on both sides of this equation. There is people standing in the yes camp and people standing in the no camp. We are called to love them, whether they agree with us or not, whether we agree with them or not, we are called to love them. But that happens as we recognize one another as being people made in the image of God. And the third thing for us this morning comes out of this as well, that as we recognize people, we also then don't have an us and them mentality. If you've been around church when the Good Samaritan has been talked about before, then you probably know that Jesus' use here of the Samaritan as the archetype of the person who is loving their neighbor well is designed to shock and confront his audience. See, the Samaritans were the enemies or were hated by the Jews. They detested them. To understand this, a bit of Israelite history for us. Originally, the 12 tribes settled in the promised land, the land of Israel. They live there well for a number of years. They have their first three kings, King Saul, King David, King Solomon. And then, because the people start to turn away from God, the kingdom splits. And you suddenly then have the northern kingdom, which is called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which is called Judah. The northern kingdom turn their back on God, and eventually they get captured and taken away by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians come in and resettle the land. A number of the Israelite people stay in the land, but they are also mixed with others from different nationalities and regions. And unlike the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, they don't actually get to come back. See, in their captivity, they're taken, but they never actually get to come back and own the land as theirs. Judah gets taken away by Babylon, and they come back and resettle the land after 70 years in captivity. Judah, where we get Jews from, becomes the new Israel. And they have Jerusalem in their land. And so they dislike the Samaritans, what was the northern kingdom, because they go, well, you're not worshipping God truly. You've turned your back on him. You're not in the temple. You're out there and we're in here. It's out of this dislike of the Samaritans that the Jewish lawyer can't even bring himself to name the Samaritan as the one who has been a good neighbor. His response to Jesus' question is simply the one who had mercy on him. Now, I wonder if part of why Jesus does this is to foreshadow, look forward to the fact that his life, death, and resurrection is good news and salvation for all people, that all people can come to the knowledge and life in him, and that here he was showing some of the redemption of what is to come. But I also reckon that it's a pretty clever ploy by Jesus to get the Israelite people, the Jews, out of thinking we're on the inside and they're on the outside, and to break down some of those barriers between the groups. Because see, when we've got an us and them mentality, then there is automatically people on the inside and automatically people on the outside. And loving our neighbour is not us having an us and them mentality, but it's having an us mentality, that all of us are made in the image of God and we are all called to be loved by God and to be loved by one another. So whichever side of the referendum vote we're on, as we think about it, as we pray about it, as we spend time researching, there will be people on the other side of how we're voting. People that we might not agree with. But rather than going, well, it's we're on the winning side and they're on the wrong side, no, it's a, I might view my call in loving God and loving my neighbour in this way, but that is still my neighbour over there. And I might disagree with them, and that's okay, but I'm still called to love them. Because we are a people. We are a nation. We are a number of groups coming together under the banner of Australia. And the banner of Australia comes under the banner of God. We are called to love one another. And so how can we do this? How can we be united? How can we go, hey, I might not agree with my neighbour in this, but I'm going to seek to love them anyway. I might not agree with their viewpoint on this, but I'm going to seek to love them. Because it's not us and them. It's all of us moving forward together, seeking to love God and love one another. And the last thing for us, that as we love God with all that we are, as we recognise our neighbours as people, as we view this not as us and them, the last thing that we need to do to love our neighbour well is to listen to them. Sometimes it is easy to see the immediate needs of a person. That person who was lying on the side of the road was left for dead. There was blood. Maybe there was crooked arms or legs. There was clear pain that needed to be treated. And the Samaritan comes along and treats those immediate needs. He bandages the wounds, but then he also listens to the further needs. He goes, I see the immediate needs here, but I also know that there are further needs in this. And so the Good Samaritan takes the man up, loads him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, and he continues to care for him. He knows it's not done yet. And so he says to the innkeeper, I've got to go. I've got to keep going. But can you take care of this man? Whatever he needs, listen to his needs, take care of it. And I'll make sure you're reimbursed for that. But I want you to listen to what is needed by this man. Too often, I think we look for the quick fix. We see the immediate needs, the surface wounds, and we go, if I can just get in there and then I fix that and then all is good. I don't have to worry about anything else. But maybe what our neighbour needs in that moment is not just the bandage around the head or the arm, but it's actually someone to sit and listen with, to listen to what is going on, to see them as a person and say, yeah, I see you. I want to love you in this. How can we be in this together? See, far too often I am seeking the quick fix, the easy word of encouragement, the throwaway line of faith. All right, you're done, cool, on to the next thing. But that's not what loving our neighbour well is. It's actually listening to them, sitting with them, going, yeah, I'm with you in this. This is not an easy thing. This sucks what you're going through. I'm with you in this. You're not alone. How can we get through this together? See, sometimes what our neighbour needs is not someone to come in and fix it. And plenty of husbands know this. What's needed is not for the fix in the situation, but for someone to actually hear what the issue is. And to together to go, yeah, let's work out how to get through this. What are your needs in this? And what are the needs moving forward? How can we love you well in this? As it comes to loving our neighbour in this referendum, we need to listen to the voices and the needs. Why is it that some First Peoples are on the yes camp? Why is it that some First Peoples are in the no camp? Why is it that there are other people in the yes camp, and why is it there are other people in the no camp? If we don't listen to the voices of both sides, then we won't know. We won't know what the needs are. We won't know what the concerns are. We won't know how to love our neighbour well in this. Why? Because it takes us listening to them for this. Knowing the aims and concerns of our neighbour actually helps us to listen well and care for their needs as well. Not just as we lead up to the referendum, but post it as well. So if the concern is that this is just some symbolic change, but I want to love my neighbour well, then how do I actually stand with them and say, all right, we don't want this to be some symbolic change. How can I push this first? If the concern is that this is just going to be something that doesn't actually help remote, rural and urban First Peoples, how can I make sure that this is something that does that? How can I speak to this and engage in these concerns, whether or not the referendum gets a yes vote or a no vote? How can I be listening to the people on both sides? If the concerns are about the details, how can we ensure that there is good clarity around this? How can we help our brothers and sisters to know this truth in the midst of this? How do we engage our politicians in actually doing this well? And how do we answer these concerns, whether the yes side gets up or the no side? How do we actually seek to hear and respond to the needs that is trying to be addressed in the voice, whether that's the right way or not? How do we do that as individuals and as a nation moving forward? And how do we not just listen to the loud voices, but listen truly to the voice of each and every person? There is a lot of loud voices that you will hear in the next 4 weeks. People on both sides with legitimate reasons. And it can be hard to make understanding of which way to vote. But as we listen to each side, as we engage not just with our own views, but with the views of all people, it helps us to think, all right, how then can I love my neighbour well? If my neighbour is really clearly in the yes camp for this, how can I love them well? If my neighbour is really clearly in the no camp in this, how can I love them well? How can we listen to what is going on that is actually driving these voices in this? So as we do this, as we prepare for the referendum, as we think about what it looks like for us to be God's people in this, a reminder of those four things for us. We are called first and foremost to love God. And then out of loving God, we are called to love our neighbour. Some of the ways that we can do this are to recognise the people that are our neighbour. Recognise that it's not us and them, but we are all in this together. And in the lead up and post the referendum, listen to our neighbour. Not just to our voice, but to their voice as well. Because as we are loved by God, we are called to live this out in our lives as well. That we are called to show the love of God that others might know this as well. And so I pray that as we go through these next 4 weeks, as we each make our own decision on this, that we would be seeking to engage this well in a way that says, I want to love God and I want to love people, God, like you do. And that no matter what side we're on, we would seek to do this with all that we are, lovingly, graciously, and mercifully with one another.